You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We're down to the second installment of our series called Here and Now. And if ever you missed out our first installment of this series, when we started this last week, this series is all about the kingdom of God. As what Mav shared a while ago, 35 years na, okay, ang Victory Philippines, not Victory Dumaguete. And over the past 35 years, we've been advancing God's kingdom. And perhaps you've heard of that statement, the kingdom of God, you know, let's pursue the kingdom of God, let's do everything for the kingdom of God. But maybe you wondered, what is the kingdom of God? And as we celebrate that 35 years of Victory, in line na to ang series na to, anak, we're gonna discuss or talk about the kingdom of God. Now, last week when we started this series, we've talked about the most basic definition of the kingdom of God is that it is the rule and reign of God as an expression of His sovereign will. In other words, one of the easiest ways to pretty much sum up or define what the kingdom of God presently is that it is the church. Wherever there are people who honor God, who love God, who worship God, who are Christians, wherever there are people who are like that, then the kingdom of God is there. In other words, the kingdom of God is not limited to a certain land area, area of responsibility, sea borders. It goes beyond that. Meaning, the kingdom of God is here, in the Philippines, in this nation. It's in other nations. It's in every continent. If not a people, someday, sa Mars, sa Moon, magka-church ta diha. If na sa inyo, ganun may mong missionaries na to, one day diha. Then the kingdom of God would also be there. That is the kingdom of God. Now, as we talked about last week as well, the way we're going to go through this series and learn more about the kingdom of God is that we're going to go through the parables. Okay, the parables were one of Jesus' teaching methods to explain what the kingdom of God is. A parable is basically, if you're wondering what a parable is, it's basically an analogy. Okay, Jesus would share one thing to mean about the kingdom of God or something else. And one description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What do I mean by that? Jesus would often use common, everyday experiences or examples para mag-get sa audience niya, ang disciples and ang crowds, what he's trying to teach to them. Kaya ang earthly story, seemingly ordinary story, but with a heavenly meaning. That is why most or many of the parables, okay, involves farming, plants, agriculture, fish, okay, or bread or something like that. Those are everyday things people at that time would easily recognize and understand. That is why if Jesus was alive today, ang parable niya, the parable of the 99 sale, muna ang share ni Jesus ato siguro today, if he was alive today. Now for our installment today, we're gonna talk about two parables. So buy one, take one ta karon. Firstly, we're gonna talk about the parable of the mustard seed. And next, we'll talk about the parable of the leaven. So we're gonna talk about these two parables. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you ready them to Matthew 13, verse 31 to 33, and says here, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that the woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, dear God, that we could know more of what your kingdom is. What does it look like? What is our role to play in it, Lord God? Lord, may you instill in us as well a kingdom-mindedness. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we're basically going to look at those two parables one at a time. So first, we're going to dive down and unpack what we can about the parable of the mustard seed. Now, Jesus says that he put another parable before his disciples and the crowd. He talked previously about the parable of the sower, the parable about the weeds, and now the parable about the mustard seed. It says here, the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God, is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. Now, many of us are familiar with the mustard sauce, right? But we're not going to talk about the mustard sauce here today. We're going to talk about where this sauce comes from. And that is the mustard seeds, okay? Dili ni siya pearls of milk tea, mustard seeds na siya. Why? Because the mustard seeds are very small, tiny. In fact, Jesus says na it's the tiniest of seeds, but it's not actually the tiniest of seeds. It's more of a hyperbolic statement, okay? Gi-exaggerate ni Jesus to get a point across. And what is his point? Why did he, of all things, compare the kingdom of God to a mustard seed? Because when you think about the kingdom of God, or when you think about the kingdom, rather, you think of massive castles, huge lands, armies, powerful kings. So, compare niyo mong kingdom, dapat mag something impressive, something powerful. Like you said, the kingdom of God is like a mighty warrior or a mighty fortress or something nga dako kayo. But Jesus starts saying that the kingdom of God is like this tiny little mustard seed. Ano man ka nang i-compare ni Jesus? And he's basically talking here about the small beginnings of the kingdom of God. Now, if you remember, last week we talked about the kingdom of God, that even though, yes, God from the start of all creation has reigned and ruled all throughout, when Jesus came into the picture, he made the kingdom of God all the more tangible. Mas na realized, mas na feel, mas na kita pa sa people. And so, there's a period in the kingdom of God, it's called the inauguration. Jesus brought the kingdom of God with him. But the way he did it, the way he inaugurated the kingdom of God was through a small, humble beginning. In Luke 2, verse 7, says here, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, Jesus, and wrapped him in his swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Imagine the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was born, not in a castle, fortress, a throne room, some extravagant room or bedchamber. He was born in a manger. Everyone wants a manger ba? This is a manger. It's a place in the stable where animals live. Yung mga cow, sheep, horses, donkeys. And that's wherein you would put food. Kaya na straw. The animals would do is that they would eat the straw there. So, more like plato for the animals. And this is where Jesus was put when he was born. Can you imagine Jesus, the promised Messiah, God himself, when he came to this world, was born and placed in the manger of all things. To a lowly, simple family who could not even find a single hotel room vacancy. That he had to stay in a place na supposed to be pang animals lang. Munang state when Jesus came into this world, and not just that, in Matthew 2, verse 23, when he grew up in a place called Nazareth. Now usually, some places, prominent or big, affluent cities or places or countries, they're known for something that they get to produce. Diba? They produce something amazing. Like for example, for those of you mahilig og chocolates, you know that some countries in Europe produce amazing chocolates like Belgium or sa other places in Europe. So Jesus lived in a place called Nazareth. Now unlike, say, those countries in Europe or if sa Philippines, o say, mayo ginaproduce sa Philippines. Mangoes, some guy in the morning said, lechon, okay? Munang ginaproduce na ito. Makita, don't ask sa lechon. But for Nazareth, if you were alive at this time and you're saying, I'm from Nazareth, taka Nazareth ko, Nazarene ko, people's reaction would be like, huh? Nazareth? Okay. Asa nang Nazareth? Nobody cares about Nazareth. It was this tiny, seemingly unimportant town that nobody cared. Nobody really stopped there. And if the town existed today, wala yung mag-Instagram dito, mag-check-in. Hey, I'm in Nazareth right now. You guys should totally come here. Nobody cared about Nazareth. In fact, at one point in Jesus' ministry, when he was calling his first disciples, he called a guy named Philip. And after that, Philip called his friend Nathaniel. And Philip told Nathaniel, "We found the promised Messiah, the Son of God and all that. And he's from Nazareth." And Nathaniel's response to Philip was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Huh? Taga Nazareth, ang Messiah? Di na tinood, ay. Because at this time, the Jews, the Israelites, they're thinking of a Messiah, someone who will free them from their earthly oppressors, which at this time was the Roman Empire. Their thinking was, someone will come in and liberate us, overthrow the Roman Empire. So that will be like a mighty king, warrior with all his armies. Someone powerful. And that someone could not come from a city called Nazareth. Hence his response, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Sure ka, Philip, Nazareth. In fact, Jesus' first disciples, when he started his ministry, if you were Jesus and you wanted the gospel to spread, the kingdom of God to advance, you'd probably select mga qualified individuals. Kanisya kay well-connected, kanisya kay politician, kanisya kay general, kanisya kay person, kanisya mo speak, eloquent, well-trained, kanisya kay brave, grabbing a person. But Jesus didn't look at any of those people. Ang gipili niya, seemingly ordinary men. Many of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector. They were simple men. And if you remember our Grace Changes series a few weeks ago, If tax collector ka at this time, you're an outcast. Nobody wants to be your friend except kung tax collector po ang lain na person. So these were his first disciples. Now if you would look at them, parang, ha, these people would advance God's kingdom? Jesus, sure ka, kalinga people? That's why Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Because it had small beginnings. But it didn't stop there. The parable goes on that when this mustard seed, when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The mustard seed is an amazing plant because though it's a very tiny seed, it can grow to become a big tree or more of a shrub or a bush. It's not the biggest, but compared to its size from a seed, imagine this tiny speck, that black thing, dili siya hugaw, ha? Seed na siya. That's the mustard seed, and it can become something like that. That's what Jesus is trying to illustrate here through this parable of the mustard seed, that the kingdom of God, though it has small beginnings, it will experience external expansion. It will grow. It will advance or increase. It's small now, small beginnings. It's just Jesus and his few disciples, but it's gonna grow. They didn't know it yet, but the kingdom of God will spread all the more beyond their wildest dreams. It's like some of our most famous companies here today. May mga humble beginnings. For example, which billion-dollar worth company was started or was conceived in the dorm room of its founder? Facebook. Okay, you use it every day for many of you. But Facebook started when it was developed first at the dorm room of its founders, Mark Zuckerberg. It's at Harvard University. Another one, which company naman started in this garage? It's a billion-dollar worth company. You use it every day as well. Google, someone said it here, okay? Google, it started with a small, simple garage. And it grew into this multi-billion dollar worth company that almost everyone with internet access has used Google at least once in their life. Diba? You use it every day when you're searching for something, when you look for resources for assignments, mga students, diba? Google, mamo dayon. We use Google every day. It started with a small garage company. Another thing, another picture is this one. Unsa man siya? Na lost na mo. I just shared this a while ago. The kingdom of God started with these small handful of people, Jesus and his ministry, his disciples. And yet this mustard seed of a kingdom of God was the same group of people called to make a difference, called to change the world. It says in Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power, you, disciples of Jesus, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus didn't say, "And you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Nazareth, in village A, B, and C." Okay? Ayaw mo sa Jerusalem, dili mo effective dito, kay walay ganahan ninyo dito. He didn't say that. He didn't say, "You'll be effective in Israel alone." Dili lang mo taman. Dili taman ang kingdom ni God. No. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," not villages, not streets, not towns, not even cities, but all nations. Jesus knows that his kingdom would spread. It would grow. External expansion. Just to illustrate this, because we tend to take this for granted sometimes, because I've heard this verse now, "Go and make disciples of all nations." But just to illustrate how amazing the expansion of the kingdom of God is, I have this picture of the world map. And see, Jesus and his disciples, they're located somewhere there. And through their ministry, so they're preaching the gospel, they advance God's kingdom, eventually that gospel reached us here today. In Asata, we're all the way there, sa Philippines. Imagine the gospel from this area over 2,000 years ago nga, siguro wala pa sa kabalo na Pilipinas. Paul only wrote a letter to the Philippians, not the Philippines. Wala pa yung Philippines that time. They didn't know it yet, but the gospel will eventually reach us. It traveled all that distance. In fact, long way pa nga, because the gospel was brought here by the Spaniards, the missionaries, okay? That's how the gospel came here to the Philippines. Long way pa nga. But not just us. The gospel has spread through every continent. North America, South America, Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia, New Zealand. Kung naitawo sa Antarctica, nga scientist, nga Kristiyano, napod yung gospel, okay? Napod yung kingdom of God. But it has spread all throughout from this seemingly small place, okay? From Nazareth, ngajak gikan si Jesus, ni spread siya from Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of God, a mustard seed, it didn't stay a mustard seed, it grew. It became this big tree. Talking about how the kingdom of God spread as well in our own nation naman, or in our own movement as well, let me share a little bit about our own church history. Okay, Victory started, since we're celebrating 35 years as well, Victory started over a few years ago, 35 years ago, of course, when a handful of missionaries came to Manila to reach out to a group of students. They went to the University Belt, they went to UP, they preached the gospel, they reached out to those students. And from that effort, from that mission trip, 35 years later, Victory is located in 100 plus locations in the provinces, that includes us, and 30 plus locations in Metro Manila. And I'm not sharing this to show how amazing we are, Gravita. It's not that. It's not to brag, but it's to show still the faithfulness of God, and it's to show as well, when you talk about the mustard seed of God's kingdom, it will grow. Whether small patong a mustard seed so good 35 years ago, a handful of missionaries with a handful of students, it has reached those locations. It has grown. Victory Dumaguete as well started with this family. Pastor Donnie and his family came here way back 2001. Wala pa kayo naborn, tanang anak niya that time. He came here with his family to start the church, and it started with 5 students from Silliman University. Just 5 students ang church before. And one of them, one of those people, Marianne, eventually became the wife of our senior pastor in EN Pakistan, Every Nation Pakistan. So we have a church there, and one of the pioneers there as a church is this woman who was discipled here in Dumaguete, who was a student here in Dumaguete. And from then on, the church has grown as well. It started in just Pastor Donnie's place, yung balay niya, dito ang church. And after that, we went to Tavern, yung area. Anyone here, part na mo sa Tavern. And then we went to Hotel Essentia. And then finally, here in our present home, here in the Spanish Heritage Building, in the words of Zechariah, when we talk about small beginnings, do not despise small beginnings. The kingdom of God, where you are right now, being part of God's kingdom, you might think, Tom, where I am right now, the kingdom of God involves me, myself, and I. Mura na. Mura na kingdom of God here in my campus or workplace. Okay, doesn't matter. Even if just you, the kingdom of God will grow where you are planted. If you feel like you're just like the mustard seed, gamay ra ko tom, ako ro sa dire. No, it will grow. The kingdom of God will grow. Now, how will it grow? Through you, through your life. Let's take a look at the second parable. Jesus also said that the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God again, is like leaven that the woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. Now, if you're wondering, what is this leaven? It's basically yeast. It's yeast that the woman used in making bread, that even though she put only a little yeast, it was able to permeate through every part of the dough. Well, yeast is important for bread making. Why is yeast important? Firstly, because yeast is a microscopic fungus that, when placed into the dough, it converts sugar in that dough into alcohol and carbon dioxide. I have this picture right here. It converts the sugar, and it does 2 things. It gives taste to the bread through that alcohol that it produces niya, and carbon dioxide. It makes the dough rise. So maybe if you've seen, if tamoy klase before sa baking, maybe you've seen someone bake, diba? Kung magputang sila yeast, then after they mix the dough all together with the yeast, the dough will rise. Muburot siya. Bahala gamay lang ang yeast ang ibutang nimo, it will rise. And that's because of the carbon dioxide that makes it rise. And because the yeast affected the entire dough, it permeated the entire dough. Until eventually it becomes this bread right here. Now what is Jesus trying to tell his disciples about the kingdom of God right here? Now, okay, kingdom of God, like yeast, like mustard seed, tiny, small. But just like yeast that's able to change the chemical composition of the dough, that's able to change its chemical position, make it grow, make it rise, but not just that, change it internally, from within, same thing po ang kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God will exhibit internal transformation. Meaning, the kingdom of God is advanced by the changed lives of the people who received the gospel. Every changed life, okay, God first changes the heart of a person, and that internal change has external manifestations. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give your heart of flesh." God says, I will change your heart. It is was your old life, mo yung heart nimo before, mo yung direction sa life nimo before. When you receive the gospel, when you've been birthed again in Christ, you became a new creation. New na ang inside, na transformed na ka from the inside out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You, your seatmate, you are a new creation if you consider yourself a Christian. If you're a follower of Christ. If you've received the gospel. New creation na ka. You've been birthed again. It is because of this change in our lives that we're able to advance God's kingdom. Christians within a culture act as agents of change, slowly transforming that culture within. Whether that culture be a campus, a company, or a community, Christians are agents of change. And that includes you. If you are part of the kingdom of God, you're an agent of change. Mura ka gift, okay? You're called to transform the culture from within, starting with your life. We are kind of like thermostats. Kabil mo say thermostat. If naga-on mo aircon, there's something there to change or adjust the temperature. That's a thermostat. A thermostat changes or it dictates unsang temperature sa room. A thermometer naman is affected by the temperature of the room. Kung say temperature sa room, mo po'y degree yung ipakita niya. Now, as believers of Christ, we are called to be the thermostats. We influence the world around us. We change the society around us. We aren't called to be thermometers na kung say trending, kung say acceptable sa society, follow na po ta, okay, susunod ako na eh. No. Because what may be socially acceptable isn't always biblical or morally right. So if we see something wrong in the world, something wrong in the society, even if okay na sila, ha, we should be the thermostats. We influence, we change our society, the culture around us from within. Be a thermostat. If you look at church history, you would see examples upon examples of Christians who have influenced, who through social responsibility, who have affected and transformed their communities or the people around them. One example is this guy, William Wilberforce, one of the key figures of ending slavery in the United Kingdom. He wasn't the first one to do so, to try and make it happen. He wasn't like the first person or a pioneer, but he was a prominent figure in the key to abolishing slavery. He was a British politician, became a Christian, and it felt like God called him to fight slavery. So throughout his years as a politician, he used everything that he could to end slavery. It wasn't until several years later, towards the near end of his life, nga napass na jud ang law, nga banned na ang slavery. And it's just one example of the many examples of Christians, of believers, who transformed society around them. If you look at church history, Christians have built schools, hospitals, orphanages. Our very own Silliman University started because a Christian philanthropist donated money to start a school here in Dumaguete City. As Christians, God's kingdom is advanced through the lives of people transformed by the gospel. To the lives of each person, one person at a time, that's how His kingdom is advanced. Life change. And it starts with you and me. And it will spread to the people around us. Now, just a few more things before we end. Okay, we talked about the kingdom of God, how it grows, how it transforms the lives of people from this small seed until this big tree and the dough that will rise. But what does it mean for us here today? For you, for me, 2019, knowing that the kingdom of God is growing and advancing, as citizens of the kingdom of God, what can we do? Or if you're here, if you're new in the church, you've just been invited, what can you do? Or what's one step that you can take? Or what's a take home natuan iba? There are several things that I could share. I'm just going to limit to three things this afternoon. Firstly, especially if you're new here, you've been invited here, what's one thing that we could do? Receive the gospel. Perhaps you've heard me talking about the gospel over the past few minutes. You're thinking, unsa man ang gospel? Nga maka-advance sa kingdom ni God. The gospel, okay, in a summary, is basically the good news that God became man in Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death that we should have died. In our place, 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving He is the Son of God, and offering the gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in Him. It is the good news that Christ died for our sins, that we've been given a new life, that the reason we can be a new creation, the reason why we can have a new life, a new heart, is all because of this, the gospel. What Christ did for us. That's the gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." So if you're new here today, here's my encouragement for us. Receive the gospel. If you haven't received the gospel, if you like you don't have that relationship with Christ, you haven't walked with Christ yet, one thing you can do, start walking with Christ. Receive the gospel. Secondly, preach the gospel. If you've been a Christian for the longest time, maybe you've been attending church for the longest time, preach the gospel. Don't just be a consumer Christian. Na parang, you know, "Lord, give me this, give me that, I need this, I need that." No. Preach the gospel. Maybe show compassion, care, and we do something for the people around us. Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard?" Okay, pangtong twister nang. "And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" In other words, how are the people who have no idea who God is, who Jesus is, what the gospel is, how will their lives be transformed? How will God's kingdom advance through their lives if no one will go to them and preach the gospel to them? If no one will risk ridicule, rejection, and persecution and preach the gospel to them? Church, sa ato na magsugod. You, me, we are called to preach the gospel. The commission to make disciples of all nations did not stop with the apostles. If you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ, you are called to preach the gospel. It's not for full-time people lang. It's not for pastors lang. It's not for some selected volunteers lang. It's for every believer. You can preach the gospel. Third and lastly, demonstrate the gospel. So this goes hand in hand with the preaching the gospel. Para siyang a pair of shoes. You look funny but you only have one shoe with you. The same thing with this. Yes, we preach the gospel. Yes, we have to open our mouth. Be courageous and preach the gospel to the people around you. But also, live out the gospel by demonstrating it in your life. That if you're preaching about the possibility of life change, forgiveness of sins, and breakthroughs through this person, Jesus, then that should be evident in your life. That when you talk this to people, people are like, "Oh nga no, kita na ako sa life nimo. I can see it in your life. There's something different. I can see the gospel. I can see Christ in you." Dili kay mo nang person nga, "Ano, preach ka na ako gospel. Ikaw gani, di na ako makita sa iyong kinabuhi." Demonstrate the gospel. James chapter 2, verse 16 to 17 says, "And one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' but without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In other words, we need to apply our faith. Practical application of faith na ito. If we don't apply our faith, how will we truly know that we believe what we're preaching? So demonstrate, live out the gospel. These three things, church. Receive the gospel, preach the gospel, and demonstrate the gospel. That's how, as citizens of God, we can advance His kingdom. Through our transformed lives, we can be agents of change that will transform the lives of other people as well. For God's kingdom.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.